Philippians chapter number 2. Let me give you a couple thoughts tonight dealing with this issue of joy. You still want it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if something had changed since last week. I think it'd be safe to say that no matter what day I ask, everybody wants joy. I think it'd be safe to say there are a lot of days I'd ask where people want it but don't have it. I'm trying to give you a biblical recipe for joy. Now, whether you fill the prescription is your business, but God has given it to us. Philippians chapter 2. I want us to look at verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let the church say amen. Father, bless us now as we open your word, and help us, Lord, to not just hear it but heed it. We love you and thank you for being God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We've established that in order to have joy, you got to have the right kind of mind. Amen. The reason why many Christians aren't living the way they would like to live is because they're not thinking the way they should think. You've got to get your mind right. Amen. I don't think it takes rocket science to realize that your body is going to go where your head goes. Come on. If your head came to church tonight, then your feet came too. And I think sometimes the Christian life oftentimes is lost right here in the head. And everything else is going the wrong direction because we don't have our mind right. And so he's dealing with joy. He's dealing with the gift of joy from God. That good feeling, that pleasure, that gladness, that never-ending jubilation that God gives, that's not circumstantial. It is not contingent upon what's going on in our lives. It cannot be stolen by people because it is not given by people. It's given by God. It's a spiritual gift. It's a God thing. Amen. It is not deposited into the pockets of our pants. It is deposited into the inward parts of our soul. It is from God. It's a God thing. Amen. And you got to get it from God. The right kind of mind. We learned a single mind. Focus on the gospel. The gospel is a God thing. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's a life-changing message that still works. You're saved because of the gospel. Somebody say amen for the gospel. You believed. You believe. You weren't saved because you paid a lot of money. You weren't saved because you were born in a certain family. You weren't saved because you joined a certain church. You weren't saved because you shook a certain hand. You weren't saved because you were baptized in certain water. You weren't saved because you spoke in some tongue. You were saved because the simple message of the gospel was given. It was embraced. It was trusted. And all of a sudden, it transformed your life. So Paul says, get your mind on the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, the faith of the gospel, a single mind. Now we looked in the last several weeks about a submissive mind. If I want joy, I can't be all over the place. Gotta have a single mind. I gotta be focused. But if I want joy, I not only have to have a single mind, I need a submissive mind. I will not have joy living life my way. I have to live life God's way. And oftentimes the holdup from having joy is because we struggle now. We struggle and stagger with submission. So Paul picks up his pen and uses the greatest example of submission known to mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why use Jesus, Paul? Because if Jesus submitted, then nobody else has any excuses. If the one who was in charge submitted, if the one who created submitted, if the one who's eternal submitted, if the one who's perfect submitted, if the one who has all power submitted, if the one who didn't have to submitted, if the one who came from the highest went down to the lowest, watch it now, he came all this way, amen. If he submitted and got joy out of it, then if I submit, I'll get me some joy too. Submissive. The submissive mind is, if you would, encouraged by an experience. The compelling motivation is that we've been on the receiving end of consolation and comfort and communion and compassion. You have the Holy Ghost inside of you, say amen. If you receive God's love, say amen. If you've been comforted by God, say amen. If you've been on the receiving end of God's compassion, say amen. Aren't you glad he loves you? He says, let that be your motivation. Watch it now. I think sometimes we are so busy listing the reasons why we don't submit instead of listing the reasons why we should submit. If there be, verse number one. And then we must have a common mind. If all of us submit, then we can walk in unity. Only, verse in the Bible just came to my recollection, Proverbs. Only by pride cometh contention. Say it with me. Only by pride cometh contention. The only way fights start is if pride's involved. Now, everybody doesn't have to have pride, but if one person does, that's enough to have a fight. Only by pride cometh contention. Do you realize that all these squabbles and all of these rifts and all of these debates could really be squashed if people would learn to have a submissive mind? So I must have a compelling motivation. I must have a common mind. And then we looked last week, I must have, if you would, considerate manners. I must think of other people more than I think of myself. Watch this now. I must put other people before me. I must eliminate pride. I must esteem other people. I must have a humble attitude that is girded up by helpful actions. If I really want to have joy, I ain't gonna have joy by taking care of me. I'm gonna have joy by taking care of others. Now watch this now. You may not believe it, but if you live it, you'll experience it. God meets the needs of those who meet the needs of others. You live your life being a blessing to people. God will make sure people are a blessing to you. Selfish people are unhappy people. Stingy people never have enough because they don't give, thereby making themselves eligible to receive. Give and it shall be given unto you. I don't know why I never get blessed. Perhaps because you're never a blessing. And when you are a blessing, God will make sure you get blessed. And by the way, lest you be waiting all the time for the person you blessed to bless you back, please understand that when you are a blessing to anybody, you are a blessing to God. And that blessing may not come back from the blessee, but God will make sure somebody blesses you, even if it isn't the person you blessed. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was in prison, ye came and visited me. When I was lonely, you came near me. Jesus, we don't remember that. In that ye have done it to the least of these, ye have done it to me. I don't know why I'm always helping that person out and they don't help me out. When you helping them out, you're being a blessing to God. And they may not repay you, but God will. God will. And I can't tell you how many times I'm telling you, like a left jab that I couldn't see, God blessed me from somebody I would have never thought to bless me. Sometimes you're so busy looking for the mouth you fed to feed you back. And out of nowhere, God hits you on the back of your head and say, I don't got to bless you from the blessee. I'll bless you from me, and I can use anybody. By the way, God can use somebody to be a blessing to you that you've never been a blessing to. Somebody help me preach. Don't pick who blesses you. Just be a blessing and let God do the picking. Amen. You ain't never got hit with a left jab you didn't expect by way of a blessing. And you thought, I'm so busy complaining about how much I do for people, they never do back for me. God said, I got you. I'm going to send somebody to be a blessing to you that doesn't even know you have a need. Because meanwhile, back at the ranch, God is in control. He sees it all. Listen to me. You are never going to give yourself into brokenness. Listen to your pastor. You're never going to give so much to people that you don't have enough for yourself. God's economical practices will never let that happen. David said, I have been young and now I'm old. I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This may not be what the greatest financial advisors will teach you on economic prosperity, but I'm here to tell you tonight, if you've got a financial crisis that you can't seem to get out of, give your way out and qualify yourself as a recipient of the blessings of God. Now, none of that was in my notes, but anyway, let me give you this, and I'm going to quit because I want you to go home and enjoy your holiday. Christ-like mindset. He had a cooperative spirit, right? Let this mind. In order to have a submissive mind, you got to let it. Okay? You keep waiting to wake up one day and be a Christian? Just get up one day and all of a sudden I was mean. I went to bed mean and now I'm a nice person. This ain't no movie. Okay? If you went to bed mean and you're going to wake up nice, you're going to have to make a choice. Amen. Now, I'm just not one of them nice people. Yeah, until you choose to be. Cooperative spirit. Chosen selflessness. Condescending service. He made himself of no reputation. He was willing to set aside the perks and the glory of being God to save us. Compliant subjection. He became obedient even unto the death of the cross. The lowest, most demoralizing method of execution was crucifixion. Jesus didn't come to be simply poisoned with a little bit of venom in his drink. Jesus came to die the most humiliating death. That, my friend, is submission and committed sacrifice. Now, let me close tonight and give you very quickly what the consequential measure of submission is. What do I get out of it? What did Jesus get out of it? The devil wanted more and got less. Jesus wanted less and got more. You listening? The devil said, I want the top. God sent him to the bottom. Jesus said, I'll take the bottom. And God sent him to the top. Very quickly, the providential exaltation. God hath highly exalted him. Amen. God hath highly exalted him. Listen to me. He went all the way down. Come on now. I say he came all this way for you and me. God, as a result, had highly exalted him. Notice the Bible said, wherefore, wherefore. In other words, Paul's making it very clear. The exaltation of Jesus was a result of his humiliation. In other words, God sent him up because he chose to go down. There was sure productivity in submission. There was a sovereign presentation. God, the authority, have highly exalted him. There was a superior placement, have highly exalted him. That's the providential exaltation of Jesus. Notice the positional exclusiveness of Jesus. And hath given him a name which is above every name. Somebody's got to say amen. That name of Jesus is above Muhammad. It's above Buddha. It's above the Pope. It's above the Baptist denomination. It's above the concept of religion. The name of Jesus, he has a positional exclusiveness. Once you have traveled up to the name of Jesus, there ain't no higher to go. And then the prospective end. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things on the earth, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me give you this and I'll let you go home. Here's the prospective end to the submission of Jesus. Guaranteed confession. Hey, now watch this now. Notice if you would in this confession that there's going to be an explicit posture. He says, every knee shall bow. Come on. And that explicit posture is going to be taken by every person. Somebody say every person in every place. Now watch this. Now this explicit posture, and the Bible is very clear to say every knee will bow. Come on now. He not only said every knee will bow, he said every tongue will confess, right? So people are not just going to posture it, but people are going to have to profess it. Amen. Now today, we have no problem professing the name of Jesus because we're saved. But listen what Paul said is going to be confessed when it comes to the name of Jesus. Not just saved folk. He said every knee is going to bow. Now I hate to bust any bubble, but there are some religions today that don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. There are some cults today that teach that Jesus is not truly God the Son, but there's coming a day when every cultist and every heretic and every antichrist and every God denier and every atheist and every agnostic and every Jehovah's Witness and every Mormon and everybody, listen, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. You say, where are they going to bow? In the heavenlies, in the atmosphere, in the angelic realm, in the principalities and powers. In the heavens, they're going to bow. Right here on earth, everybody's going to bow. And down in hell, they're going to be brought up. And everybody's going to bow. In every place, from the upper extremities to the downest depths, they're going to bow and confess he's Lord. And here's the glorious culmination to the glory of God the Father. So what are you saying? I'm saying that Paul is letting us see that Jesus chose to go down knowing that because he chose to go down, God chose to lift him up. Amen. Now listen to me, beloved. This area of submission, I know the world tell you, do you. Go ahead. Doing you will get you down at the bottom.
That's right.
Don't do you. You do what he wants you to do. Amen. Listen to the story of Jesus Christ. He humbled himself. Amen. And God allowed him to be killed. By humbling himself, God exalted him. Come on. By them mocking his name on planet Earth, God gave him a name above every name.
Amen.
By him bowing his knee to wash the feet of the disciples, God said every knee is going to bow before him one day to worship him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'll close with this simple, biblical, humanistically opposed statement. The way up is always down. Father, help us. Help us to quit trying to lift ourselves up. And help us to lower ourselves down so that you can lift us up. It's not about lack of self-esteem or thinking that we're nobodies, but it's about humbling ourselves so that you can exalt us. In Jesus' name, amen.